From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session coming to you today from the Steve Nelson Performance Studio. My guests are members of a band that can be a bit hard to describe until you actually hear it and make the decision yourself. It's the John Stickley Trio. John Stickley, Lindsay Pruitt, Hunter Deacon. Hello and welcome all to JPR.
Hello, happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for breaking in the new space with all of the equipment as necessary. The new record is called Make Believe. Information is online at johnstickley.com. The band is originally from where? Asheville or near Asheville?
Yeah, we kind of started in Asheville, North Carolina. Now our drummer Hunter is over in Knoxville, but we're still based technically in Asheville.
Your sound, as I mentioned at the top, is incredibly hard to describe. Lots of words get thrown out to try and encapsulate it as best as possible. You leap from Americana to bluegrass to classical to rock to pop to just about everything in between. Is there anything that you three have landed on as a useful descriptor of what you do?
We like to use the hashtag extremely progressive bluegrass.
How does that go over with the more traditional bluegrass folks?
Yeah, you know, they like it. We're so different that you can't really hold it to that bluegrass standard, even though we kind of still do hold it to somewhat of a bluegrass quality standard, because, you know, we consider bluegrass to be the best music in the world.
Now, did you start off playing more straight traditional bluegrass, John?
That's what got me really into music. You know, I went to my first jam in high school, started playing mandolin, and kind of just went from there. The bluegrass community and the jam scene, the festivals, the community of it. I mean, it really snagged me, and I've been kind of in that world ever since.
Mm. Well, you followed a fairly good list of influences from Grisman to Tony Rice, which ended up sort of pointing you toward guitar. Tell me about that transition and what it was about listening to Tony Rice play that made you want to take up that instrument.
Like everybody else who loves Tony so much, I mean, the style really, and the fluidity and the tone with which everything was done. And I think the production of his records really, it's so well done that it's really easy to identify with. Whereas a lot of, you know, bluegrass and new acoustic music up to that point was a little more raw and took a little bit more of a, you have to kind of tune your ear to it a little bit more.
Well, I can't wait to hear something. John Stickley Trio, my guests live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Information is online at johnstickley.com, spelled J-O-N, by the way. What do you guys want to do first?
How about one called Almost With You?
That is fantastic. It's the John Stickley Trio playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. John Stickley, Lindsay Pruitt, Hunter Deacon in our performance studio today. Hunter, you are the newest member of the band, joined, what, about 9 months or so ago, beginning of 2018, somewhere around there. This is not the kind of band where a new drummer comes in and just learns some charts, and this is a three-part conversation on every single song with a lot of intricate moving parts. How in the world did you pick up all of this repertoire that quickly to be able to stay with these two?
Honestly, it is actually make charts and learn it and then get together and play and make sure that we can all get along both musically and mentally and socially and all that kind of stuff, because it all plays in together. So yeah, John sent me the tunes and I sat down and started making charts and spent you know, some hours working on them and figuring out how they all work together. And once I got a good sense of that, was able to start adding my own thing to it. And then once we got together, kind of knew where to go with everything. I could follow them and watch them and see how it worked.
They are beautifully, consistently inconsistent tunes, right? In terms of tempo and time signatures and everything else. So it seems like a mountain of work. Congratulations on that. John, Lindsay, tell me how you ended up selecting Hunter to be that third member of this trio.
I asked a friend. I actually, you know what I did was I wanted to look outside of Asheville, because Asheville is kind of a small town. And if the right person was there, I definitely probably would have known. I think I would have known about him, he or her. So I started kind of looking outside of Asheville in the region. And the first place I honed in on was Knoxville, Tennessee, because I knew there were a lot of drummers there and a lot of bass players. And come to find out, it is kind of known as a rhythm town. So I called a friend of mine who lives in Knoxville, and I asked him if there was anybody who would be a good fit. And it took him a couple of weeks to get back to me, but he sent me Hunter's contact, and you know, it was a trusted recommendation. So we just took it from there. And like I said, I sent Hunter a couple tunes and kind of told him what we were looking for, and nothing scared him away. So we took a couple steps, and it ended up working out great.
Fantastic. Most of the first paragraphs that I have come across that are dealing with reviewing your records or the beginnings of interviews all reference you as hot flat picker. For folks that are not guitarists or didn't come up playing guitar, tell me a little bit about what that means, flat picking style.
Hot flat picker. So I'm really hot. flat picking is a term that kind of came about. It's not that old of a term. It came about when people like Doc Watson started playing leads on guitar with a pick. Because before that, you know, you strummed a guitar as backup to a song, or there was classical guitar where you use your fingers and play solo. And so Doc Watson, I think, might even be credited as the very first flat picker, because he was a guitar player who he accompanied his songs with guitar, but he would also play fiddle tunes at dances on guitar. And that was a feat in itself, because guitar is naturally one of the quieter instruments for those settings. So no one had ever really done that, but he kind of mastered the physicality of it and started the genre. And then people like Norman Blake and early flat pickers kind of followed suit, and it became a whole thing. Clarence White was another he went on to play with the Birds on Telly, but he was also an early innovator of lead acoustic guitar.
So would a shredding metal guitarist using a pick classify as a flat picker, or is there some other attribute that is required to be a flat picker?
Technically, it would be done on acoustic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, which is a whole other thing. You know,
Django was an early flat picker, I guess.
Yeah, Django. Of course, Django Reinhardt was one of the OG flat pickers. There was another guy named Oscar Alemán was a contemporary of Django and played a lot of the leads and stuff, but he used a thumb pick. And so it was a little different in Django. Yeah, Django's like every flat picker's hero.
Yeah. Well, you guys are largely playing acoustic here in our studio, but watching and reading about your setup on stage, there are a lot of effects. You guys run through a bunch of pedals in order to try and augment that solo acoustic sound. Interestingly, there is no bass in this trio. It's just guitar, fiddle, drums. There's no, seemingly no low end, and there's where the effects come in. Was it a conscious decision not to have a bassist, or did you just really kind of forge the path that was laid out in front of you and went with it?
Yeah, the lineup kind of came about randomly. We had a bass player. It was Lindsay, myself, and a bass player at first. And then randomly, he couldn't come to a gig, and my roommate at the time owed me a lot of favors, and he was a drummer. And so he hopped on the gig, and we did our first random gig in Asheville. This is in the early stages of the band, and we did the fiddle guitar drum thing, and that it kind of stuck after that, because it opened up so many rhythmic possibilities. But it also presented some challenges that we're still kind of trying to figure out. But yeah, like you said, we use, primarily, octave pedals to get low end. Lindsay can back me up as if she's a bassist, and, That was the main big innovation that we did, was adding the low end in to make up for the lack of bass.
And are you still coveting her octave pedal, or have you finally purchased one to match hers?
No, I still got to get one like hers. Hers is way better than mine.
Lindsay, turning to you, I read that a long time ago, you were a competition clogger.
Oh, man, yeah. Taking it way back.
Yeah? When did you leave that world behind?
My parents moved. This is in elementary school when I was a competition clogger, but I was really into it and really good at it. And but my parents moved, and we went to an arts school, the arts in Jacksonville, Florida, where I grew up. And they just suggested I start playing the violin, and gave me one. And I resisted at first, but about 3 weeks in, I was like totally hooked, and sort of clogging just sort of faded into the past. And I think the main motivation for that, I like to think, is that my mom was sort of tired of the other clogging moms, because it's a whole world of pageantry. As it's a really cool like thing to be into, and I still like to do it, but as a having a little kid, you know.
Yeah, it seems like having taken on something at that level at that young of age, it would have given you such a tremendous rhythmic platform to build a musical
Absolutely.
Career on.
Yes, I think about that all the time, because clogging, as opposed to tap dancing, is really stomp oriented. Like, but it's everything's like stomping on the beat, plus adding syncopation. You know, so it's very syncopated, but it's also very rooted in the beat. So you have to keep tempo. You can't rush. You can't slow down. You know, it's and you clog as a group a lot. So you have to sort of be in sync that way.
Yeah. John Stickley Trio, my guests today live on Jefferson Public Radio. John Stickley, Lindsay Pruitt, Hunter Deacon in our performance studio. Can't wait to hear another tune. What do you want to do next?
Let's do another one off the new record called Slow Burn. Thank you.
That is the John Stickley Trio playing for us live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The latest release is called Maybe Believe. You can find information on the band and the music at johnstickley.com. Well, by now, people have figured out that, at least these days, you guys are an instrumental trio. That was not always the case, correct?
No, it was not.
It sort of seems like you guys are going the opposite direction most bands do, which is to start out instrumental and then slowly somebody in the band has the eyeballs to start getting out in front singing. You have done the opposite.
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
Well, we started as an a cappella trio. no.
We only sang a little bit at the beginning anyway, which is hard to do.
Yeah,
it was sing only a little bit.
yeah, singing a little bit. You know, we do sing in life, and it wasn't until we went into do our first album with producer Dave King, Lost at Last, that we were kind of wanting to add more vocals, and it just wasn't happening. We needed like more vocal songs, and didn't know really what to do with this weird instrumental lineup as far as what to sing over it. You know, we couldn't really sing the bluegrass songs that we knew. So that's when Dave said, look, you guys are already writing really interesting instrumentals with arrangements and you guys are great pickers. And he's like, that shines. And it really is something no one else is doing. And, I really think that's your strong point. I mean, not that your vocals aren't great, but you know,
but he was like,
you guys aren't vocalists. You guys are pickers.
Your strengths.
Yeah. And it was hard for us to hear that because people, you know, at festivals, we would sing our three songs of the set and then the rest would be instrumental stuff. And people would always say, oh, you must sing more, you know? So we were trying to figure out how to sing more and it just wasn't natural. So we said, hey man, you know, Dave King, you're kind of old school. You've been around. You might be smart. I don't know.
Well,
but yeah. Let's just do what you say. Do your idea. And we did it. And it felt extremely natural. And then we went and did a festival, all instrumental. And it felt extremely natural.
And no one asked us to sing.
And no one said you should sing more. You know,
when you don't sing at all, it's just like it goes out of your head. But when you sing a little bit, it's sort of... That's all of a sudden it's that thing that people are used to connecting to. Yeah.
And someone said something like genius is people that are more themselves than anyone else. Like, and it was not that we're geniuses or anything, but it was a move toward something that we do more naturally than anything else.
Yeah.
Do you guys find it hard to make records because the process of recording is just very difficult to capture what you guys have and what you do when you're live on stage?
Making records really isn't so bad. Composing and writing for this band is a little difficult. Mm. You know, it's hard not to get bogged down with thinking about the limitations of the band when I'm coming up with songs. And I'm trying to forget about that and just write melodies, write songs, because one of the first things we ever did was adapt songs that I had written to this group. So, you know, coming up with compositions that are going to work well with acoustic guitar, violin, and drums, that is a little bit of a challenge for me. But it in the same way, it's inspiring to be able to work with different beats and things like that. So it's just kind of part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for taking the time to visit with us.
Thank you.
Thanks,
John Stickley Trio, my guest live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The latest release is called Maybe Believe. You can find information online at johnstickley.com. You guys have one more for us? What's it going to be?
Yeah, let's take it back and do one of those adapted fiddle tunes from our first record called Lost at Last. The tune is by Tim O'Brien. It's called The High Road. Thank you.
See, now you're just showing off. It's the John Stickley Trio playing for us live here on Jefferson Public Radio. John Stickley on guitar, Lindsay Pruitt on fiddle, Hunter Deacon at the drum set. The most recent release is called Maybe Believe, and you can find information online, John Stickley, JonStickley.com. John, Lindsay, Hunter, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Eric.
Yes, thanks.